So we're looking at Romans chapter 6, and for us to understand chapter 6, we need to back up a little bit to chapter 5, so we see the flow of the conversation. If you don't back up to chapter 5, you will not understand why Paul started with the question. What prompted that question? So we need to back up, not all the way to chapter to verse 1, but at least verse 15. We need to back up to verse 15, where Paul was comparing grace and sin. Where Paul was comparing grace and what? And sin. Where Paul was comparing what? Grace and sin. I want to plead with you. If you want to make success of your Christian life, you must understand the book of Romans. I've said this over and over. It's not every Christian that is living at their capacity. Be real with you. Not every Christian is enjoying their full capacity in Christ. If you are serious about it, and you want to see greater move of God in your life, you want to see greater things, you need to understand this thing. And it's not too difficult to understand. It's not too difficult to understand. Amen? So, verse 15 says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. So there's a great what? Difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, what did he do to us? Can we have this on the screen, please? For the sin of this one man, I'm reading, I think it's New Living Translation. If you can take me off the screen and put Romans. Yeah, verse 15. Romans 5:15. Not 6. Romans 5:15. Alright. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's what? Gracious gift, which is his grace. We call it unmerited. Unmerited what? It's tautology. Favor is something you don't merit. Once it's favor, you don't merit it. So to say unmerited favor is tautology. It's either you say you receive favor, or you say you received unmerited blessing. But to call it unmerited favor is to say I received favor. Favor is what you are favored with. You don't deserve it. You don't merit it. It's simply something you don't merit. But let me go with that language because many of you are familiar with that. And let me tell you, it's coming from Lagos. Unmerited favor. It's coming from Owerri too. Mbieri, to be precise. Mbieri. Have anybody seen Mbieri in the map before? Don't look for it. It's not there. So it's coming from Mbieri. So there they call it unmerited favor. In Umuchu, we call it favor. So there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious what? For the sin of this one man, Adam, what did he bring us? Brought death to how many? Many. Watch the comparison now. Now it tells us what the grace of God did. But even greater, and the word greater is used a couple of times in this verses we are going to read. That in comparing the damage that other sin caused, that the grace is so far greater in mending it, and what the grace did is so far greater than what the sin did. So he said, even greater. Everybody say greater. Come on, I want to hear you. Greater. Even greater is God's wonderful what? Grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this one man, Jesus Christ. So Adam's sin brought us death. And you know what death is? What is death in this place? It's separation from God. But it says, even greater is this wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness, or the gift of righteousness, if you want to call it that, forgiveness to many through this one man, Jesus Christ. So this one brought us separation. This one brought us forgiveness and made us righteous, acceptable to God. Let's read Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Being justified by what? Faith. Being justified by what? Faith. I want to hear you say that. Being justified by what? Faith. So, our justification is simply because we put our faith in who? Christ. Being justified by faith, we now have, what do we have? Peace with God. Through who? It's not through us. It's not through us. It's not through you. It's not through me. It's not through us. It's not through you. I know we would like to say it is through us, but unfortunately, it's not through us. It is through our Lord who? Witness, it is through what Jesus did. By whom also, he said, it is also by Jesus Christ. Also, we now have, what do we have? I'm reading Romans 5, 1, 2. By whom also we have what? Access. Remember that the sin of Adam brought death, separation, no access. But now, because we are now justified by faith in Christ, and because of what Jesus did, and by him, through Christ, the only way to God, through Christ, we now have, what do we have? We now have what? Access by faith into this grace. What is this grace? The grace of having access. The grace of having what? Access. Unmerited blessing of having access. Because it is not you. It's not by you. It is by Christ. It is through him. So what I'm enjoying and you are enjoying and having this access is what I couldn't achieve. You must understand this. So when we go to chapter 6, you see why Paul asked the question here. So he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And what do we do again? We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's look at Ephesians 2:18. Or Ephesians 3:11. Let me leave 2:18. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ. See, this is what God purposed. This was what God had in mind. His purpose, his eternal purpose in bringing Jesus to this world. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have, number one, what? What do we have? Boldness. And what do we have again? An access. And what do we, how do we have moved with what? Confidence by the faith of him, the faith we have in him. This faith gave us, number one, what? Boldness to come to God. Number two, what? Access. Number three, what? How did the Bible say we should come? We say, come boldly before the throne of grace. So one man's sin caused separation. But what Christ did brought us back. If you understand this, say amen. Up to this point, tell me what you did to bring you back. Huh? It's God doing all of this. Okay? So we go to verse 16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to, what did he lead to? I'm reading Romans 5:16. Romans 5:16. And I'm reading, I think it's New Living Translation. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to what? Condemnation. The soul that sinned it to die. So we are condemned. Everybody was condemned. But God's free gift, which is His grace, leads us to our what? Being made right or acceptable. Being made right with God. Remember that because of our faith in Christ, we now have peace with God. So we'll be made right. No, there's no quarrel, nothing again. So being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. So now, let's look at Romans 3, 21. But now God has, I'm reading Romans 3, 21 to 22 to 24. Romans 3, 21 to 24, New Living Translation. That's what I'm reading. Romans 3, 21 to 24, New Living Translation. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. That's a way to be counted righteous. To be counted righteous. To be made right. To have peace with God. Without the requirements of the law. As was promised in the writings of Moses and who? The prophets long ago. The next verse. We are made right with God by placing our faith in who? Jesus Christ. And this is true for how many people? Everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Why? The next one. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory or standard. So that's why everyone that puts his faith in Christ is made righteous, is made acceptable to God. Amen? I said amen. Verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, what did it cause us? Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused what? Death to rule over men. Why? The sword has seen it. So he caused this separation from God to rule over many. But even greater, you see the word greater now? Even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, all who receive it, all who what? Receive it, will live a triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor, I don't live in triumph. Well, do you believe it? Do you believe that God gave you this gift? It won't work unless you believe it. It's not going to work unless you believe it. Are you even aware of it? That's what I'm saying. I said, if you want to really live a Christian life that is outstanding, and I'm not talking of being a religious Pharisee, I'm talking of live in power, live in the realm of power, extraordinary life. You need to know these things. If you don't know these things, you'll be a mediocre Christian all your life. You'll be struggling. You'll be explaining away your failures. I'm looking for who to blame for them. And then, occasionally, you can see flashes of God's blessing here and there. But that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a consistent and ever-increasing life that you go from glory to glory. I just had a story about one man who, when there was no money in this country, he was a millionaire. And then he was also a pastor, but wasn't paid. I think it was either a pastor or one of the leaders in the church. And they were sharing how he made it. He said the way he made it was communion with the Holy Spirit. And that fellowship with God was key to his success. Fellowship with God. You cannot have fellowship with God when you don't believe that you are righteous. It's not going to happen because you are going to take your way out of it.
to take yourself out of it. Because the devil will convince you that you are not what?
Yes, you cannot.
So how can my brother come? How can my brother, let me say, I'm not God. I'm just a lost. Let me take this one today. Tomorrow it will be you. Now, if I have everything for him, and I know he can't merit coming to me, and I came down, I said, what you can do, let me do for you. And I paid for his sin, died for it. You know, his judgment is the soul that sinner shall what? And I died in his place. And told him, now, because I died in your place, I paid your penalty. You don't owe anything. Can you now come, please? Let's talk. You know, he can say no. Or he can say what? Now, supposing he says no. And he's trying to pay the penalty, which only me could pay for him. When do you think he will come in my presence with faith? He will never come. And if you come with evil heart of unbelief, it blocks you. Blocks you, meaning hinders you right away. And he can't come boldly now. Because the devil will go and whisper to him and say, look, my friend, you are not righteous. Forget about that thing that I'm telling you, church. You are not righteous. I'm telling you now. I say, yeah, that's true, Lord, you know. Remember me, oh Lord. You know that song they sing? Remember me, oh Lord. God say, you are my son. I have not forgotten you. Can I hear amen? Yeah, he's begging God. He'll be there begging. Then he will set himself some punishment. He will deprive himself food 40 days, 70 days, 80 days. What do you think he's trying to achieve? To convince himself that he can now come. After that, the devil will come and say, you haven't done enough. You don't even pray enough. How can you go? He said, yeah, that's true. Then he goes back. My question to you is, how can he be what God wants him to be? Convince me. How can he? He's the one that caught himself. But the other person says, yeah, praise the Lord, because of Jesus. I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace. And when he comes, he and the Spirit of God begin to have fellowship together, intimacy together. And the Lord is showing him great and mighty things, which and even teaching him how to live his life. But that has to come by this fellowship. And it's not going to be possible. It's not going to be possible, I'm telling you. Unless you understand these things and believe that they're true. Otherwise, you have a struggle in your mind. You have serious war. And the devil will see to it that you don't go there. And if you go cowardly. You go with unbelief. You go with doubt. You won't get nothing. Zero. Because the Bible warned us. It said if you walk in unbelief. It said, look at Israel. It said, because they couldn't believe my word. It said, they didn't get my blessing. So I'm warning you people. Don't be like them. I've seen Christians who don't look too holy and too. They are walking in power, walking in grace and what. And I've seen all this so too much trying to be all these things and nothing. Verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift. How much do you pay for a gift? Huh? You give me back the gift, you turn around and say, Pastor, can you pay? It's not a gift anymore. That is ShopRite. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. I went to somewhere, me and my wife, they pinned something on me. They said, anything you have. My wife said, what is this? Ah, I came here, you're selling it to me. So this is not fair. You can't invite me to come and enjoy you. Put something, pin something on me and say, whatever you have, give me. Suppose I don't have my wallet. Nobody should do it in this church. I don't want to hear it. If you want to pin something on people, pin it, bless them, leave them alone. Amen? I said, amen. If you want to pin it, pin it. Leave them alone. They don't go to them and say, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Did you tell him when he was coming? That I was going to. That is, I don't like that stuff. A gift is a gift. Can I hear amen? So the gift that God gave us is a gift of righteousness for all who receive it. We live in triumph. We live in triumph over sin and death through one man who? Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings what? 18. What does it bring? Condemnation for everyone. Condemnation is the realm of the natural man. If you live in the natural man, you'll be condemned every day of your life. It's right there. It's right there for everyone. For everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings what? Right relationship with God and new life. For how many people? Everyone. So, in verse Isaiah 53:11, verse 19, before we read Isaiah 53, verse 19. Because one person disobeyed God, 19. Who was that? Many became what? You see how we became sinners? Because of the sin of Adam. Many became sinners, but because one other person obeyed God now, many will be made what? Righteous. Now, what is this obedience that the Bible is referring to, that Christ obeyed God and many were made righteous? It's because he was obedient unto death and died on the cross. He was obedient what? Unto death and died on the cross. He gave his life for us, willingly. So Isaiah 53:11 explains it very well. When he sees all that is accomplished by his what? Anguish. By his what? Not your anguish. Not your own anguish. But by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible. He will not make it what? Possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. He obeyed unto death. He was obedient unto death. He passed through anguish. The Bible says he will look back and say, wow, now they can be what? Righteous. They can now come to the Father and have right relationship with God, have peace with God because of his anguish, because of what he suffered. And in verse 20, God's law was given so that all people could see how, what? God, so all people could see how, what? Sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So, just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, he's saying that God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful, what? They were. So that the law simply revealed our sinful nature, which has been there all this while. The law. You know, there are certain things that happen. It will reveal your flaws. Am I right? Huh? You are a good person until the opportunity to steal comes. You see 3 million and nobody is looking. You don't take bribe until the devil offers you good money. Yeah? I'm telling people, I said, you don't know yourself yet. Just consider. Only God knows you. Because you haven't had the opportunity, it doesn't mean you may not do those things. And sometimes you haven't really been tried. You haven't. Praise the Lord. I remember one pastor that somebody was looking for a driver. He said, I want a really good Christian. And they gave him a really good Christian. The best. You know, the holy, quiet. And then the man had the driver and started noticing that money was missing from his briefcase. So he said, no, there's no way this brother can be. No, the pastor didn't know. The brother never had the opportunity. See, you never can tell what you can do until the opportunity is given to you. I'm not kidding. That's why we think we are good. Only God knows us. Only God what? You never can tell what you can do until the opportunity is given to you. Safe opportunity is given to you. Until the devil creates the privilege for you. So the brother decided to find out how this money is missing. So he now wrote the numbers and things. And then kept his briefcase and pretended to go to somewhere. And when he came back again, he opened it and sure enough, it was missing. So he now confronted the driver and said, I'm searching you now. And then he found the money there. Now, before that, it wasn't still. Because opportunity has never come. That's why you can't judge people. You can't judge people because if the devil gives you the same opportunity, you might do worse than they do. Nobody can judge anybody. Keep your judgment to yourself. The Bible says, let every man examine what? Himself. He didn't say examine another person. And you can't be shifting motives because you don't know anybody at all. We don't know anybody. The Bible says we cannot judge righteous what? Judgment. It's not possible because you don't know anybody. There are people you see, you think they are really, really there. If you stay close to them back for 1 week, you'll be so disappointed. You'll be really very disappointed. Extremely disappointed. The kind of things you see will be so not certain to you. But because you were never there, never observed, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah? He's a wonderful brother until somebody steps on his toe. Then the wonderful brother will disappear. So the law really reveals us how we are. And the Bible said, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. Because we're really bad people. We're really bad, to be honest with you. So, and then what does the law do? Since we are now bad, so we run to Jesus to save us from our bad. Yeah, badness. I borrowed it from you, badness. Did you go to Mbieri too? All this language is coming from there, I'm telling you that. So, the law reveals that I'm bad, and I'm without strength, and I'm falling every day. All I need to do is to run to the Savior to save me from my trouble. That's what Paul is saying, Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what? Faith. He said, the law will teach you how bad you are and that you can't be justified by this thing. So you run to Christ, so he will now give you the gift of what? Righteousness, and be justified by faith. But after that faith is come now, we no longer are under the schoolmaster, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Everybody say amen. Did you understand up to here? Eh? Now, all these things I've been reading, which one have I done? Who is doing all of this? God is doing it through Christ. God did this. God gave us the gift. God forgave the sin. God paid the price for us. God. So Paul began to ask this question in chapter 6, verse 1. That's what led to that question he asked in verse 1. Let's look at that question in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue what? In sin? That grace may. So it's a natural question. He said, God is justifying the sinner. God is forgiving us and giving us the gift of righteousness. He said, what are we going to say then because of the foregoing? Are we now going to be committing sin so that God will what? Be forgiving us and showing us grace? Then he answered it himself. He answered this himself in verse 2. Romans 6 2. It says, of course what? Not. Can we read that? Of course what? Not. Can we say it again? Of course what? Not. He said, of course not. And since now he began to explain the dimension of grace that really saved us from sin. Remember, we're saved by what? Grace. It's not just that God gave us the gift of righteousness, but the same grace of God saved us from the power of sin, which the Lord couldn't save us from. So he started to show us that it's not only that we are forgiven and given the gift of righteousness, but there was some inner work that God did for us, which we couldn't do ourselves. So he began to make that wonderful presentation in verse 2, chapter 6, verse 2. Of course not, since we have died to sin. Since we have what? Died to sin. Now let me make it simpler, as much as God can help me. All that we're going to read here, don't be confused with. All that we're going to read these verses is simple something. That when you came to Christ, your old nature was crucified, and God made you a new creature, and that he created you in the true righteousness of God, that he created you to be like Jesus, his son. He said, this is his purpose, that he brings a sinner and turns him into a saint to be like Jesus. Not by what you do first, but by what he did in you. So by creating you, the old nature is sinful by nature. And when the Bible says we are slaves of sin, it's because of that old nature. Because as long as that old nature is there, a man cannot help it but sin. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? As long as that old nature is there, a man cannot what? Help it. He's a slave because by nature he is sinful. You see, I'm right-handed. Some of you are left-handed, and some of you are neither left or right. But I'm right. You know? So I can't help it but use it. Why? It's nature. I just can't help it. So it's like I'm a slave to my right hand. That is in quote. That's what Paul is saying, that we're slaves of sin. Until this new nature, this old nature is what? Taken away. And then the new nature is brought in. And because now your new nature is like, I was right-handed and I couldn't help it. But somebody took away this right-handedness and brought me left-handedness. So now I can't help it, but to be what? Left-handed. So all he's trying to show here is that through the grace of God, that God did what nobody could do, you couldn't do, the Lord couldn't do, was to create you new and give you a brand new nature. And now you are a new man. And that he created you to be like his son, exactly. Because he gave you the life of his son. And he said, just like Jesus died and was buried, and his rose, he says the same way that when we came to Christ, that he said, just picture it like that. He says the same way when you came to Christ, that your old nature was what? Buried. Your old nature was what? He's using words saying Jesus was buried. He carried all our sins. He was buried. But when he rose, he didn't have any of our sins anymore. So when we too come to Christ, it's like we too were what? Buried. So that the old man died. And when we rose with Christ, we rose with newness of life. It's just, I'm just trying to find a word to use. When you use words to illustrate words, no, it's not significant. Allegory. Allegory. Yeah, you heard it from me, right? Good. Allegory. Allegory is, I'm using pictures here to show you what, to illustrate to you what you may not understand if I don't paint that picture for you. So just like Jesus died, and he resurrected in newness of life. He said, reckon you like that. Reckon it. Picture yourself the same way. That when you came to Christ, you also what? Died. And that you rose with what? New life. All he's saying in summary is that when you came to Christ, your old nature was destroyed and God gave you a new life, period. That's summary. Praise the Lord. So he's saying, no, you can't say because God is giving us mercy and forgiveness. No, that doesn't warrant you committing sin because you are now a slave to righteousness. The problem you had, the old nature of sin has been what? Wiped away. So now you are no more left-handed. Now you are now right what? Handed. So you are no more sin-handed. Now you are righteousness what? Handed. You are no more a slave of sin. Now you are a slave of what? Righteousness. So you say what God did was to change us so that we can now by nature live the real life that God wants us to be. Anybody following me? Or you say, Pastor, but that's not my life because you don't know it. You won't believe it. You want to go the route of law, 10 commandments, teach me how to obey God. I can do 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to be struggling. If you want to do 1, 2, 3, 4, you just believe what God did and that nature starts doing 1, 2, 3, 4. That's all. Just believe what God did and that nature starts walking and just naturally it starts doing 1, 2, 3, 4 in your life. Amen? I said amen. So, in Romans 8:29, before we go to Romans 6:2, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. You see, he said he chose his people to become like what? His son. So that God's purpose was to bring you and I and create you to be like Jesus so we can act like Jesus. He chose us to be so that his son will be the firstborn. The firstborn among many what? Brothers and sisters. So if Obi, can you come? If me and Obi were the same brother and the same father, what makes us the same brother and the same father? Is it not the same DNA? Right? Eh? Come on now. It's the same DNA now. So supposing that there is a way you can change his DNA and make it the DNA of him. My brother, can you come? That's Pastor Kemi's brother. Kemi and Jory, that's the brother. You can see his face. Supposing we change his DNA now and he gives him his life and he has his own DNA, who will he behave like? Me or him? That's what God did. He changed he gave us new life. Jesus Christ said, I came that you have what? Have life. So when you came, he took away the old life and gave you his life by living in you so that you can now behave like him. And not like the old DNA, which what you had. Now, because you have his DNA, God says, you are now his brother. If you are a woman, you are now his sister. He said, but he's the firstborn. You can be the 1,008th born the day you got saved. Some of you, God finally pushed you in. Praise the Lord. After so much prayer by people, God finally pushed, and we got them, and you are number 1,000,008. So, but do you get what I'm saying? Eh? Okay, let's go through that thing. Come nearer here so that these people will see what we're doing. Okay, I have this DNA. We have this DNA, right? So he'll behave like me, I behave like him. Am I right? And this is the DNA that we had naturally. We got from our parents. And it's flesh. There's nothing spiritual there. He that is born of the flesh, flesh. There's nothing. We had it in maternity. The same. And it's causing trouble. By nature, we are children of wrath. By nature, we are slaves to sin because of this DNA. So God comes and says, God gives us the law. So the law shows that our DNA can't obey it. Every time our DNA is shown, we are not the type that obeys this law. The Bible says the natural man does not obey So he's saying we are natural. We haven't had the spiritual content yet. So God comes and sends Jesus. And Jesus comes along and gives him life. Takes this DNA and destroys it by the power of his spirit. And gives him life. Joins his spirit to his own. And then this man is now a new creature. He's cut off from me. Now, since he's a new creature, the Bible says the purpose of God is to make him like his son. Right? Right? So that he can behave like his son. Now, he now has the son in him. He's joined to his spirit. They have become one. And now part of his body. He's so much joined that you are called part of his body. Now, this man doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. He doesn't understand all of these things we are talking about. He thinks he's still like me. As a man think it, his character will never be like his own, even though he has all this thing. Why? He's thinking. No matter what you tell him, he is still crying, struggling, wanting to. But God already made him to be. But he doesn't know. So he wants to be sincere. And if it doesn't work for him, somebody wrote to say he will go and lower the standard. And say, after a man, no be wood. He will lower the standard, fighting his conscience. Because his conscience is wounded all the time. He's a sincere man. Look, he loves God. He's born again. But because of ignorance, he is struggling. He wake up in the morning, oh my God. He will remember all his failures. And they are stacking his face because he will fail again. Then tell him to pray. He won't have the boldness. I don't care what you're talking about. He will never pray with faith. And he can't receive from God. But the day his eyes what? And he begins to see, wait a minute, whoa, hold. I'm already like him. What? God already made me what? Like him. And I have his life. So why am I even struggling to be like him when I'm already like him? And once he agrees to that, he begins to walk through him. And guide him by his spirit. Because now this fellowship is that two cannot walk together except what? Yeah. This one is saying, you are like me. He said, I'm not like you. I'm struggling to be like you. Didn't you know I told a lie yesterday? So I'm not like you. He said, no, that's not what God did. God knows that you can't be like me that way. That way you can't be. So he made you to be like me through your spirit changing you and giving you my life so you can be like me if you agree with me. Called faith, if you believe. So he now believes, he says, yeah. So he now trusts in him and enters his rest. The struggle is what? Over. He believes what God has said. And because of his faith, the things that are not possible with him before becomes now. So you see him the next time and you yell at him instead of yelling back. This spirit of him is working so much. The love, the character is taking over his life. Paul said, we are constrained by this love. We are constrained. If we want to go like this, it constrains us. We want to do this, it constrains us. So instead of him yelling at you, he will smile. I said, my brother, I understand his fear struggles. The Lord will. He said, he begins to speak comfort now because this spirit speaks comfort. He begins to speak edification and not condemnation. Because this spirit, when they brought this spirit, a woman caught in adultery, he said, I don't speak condemnation. I came to lift you up. So he begins to speak lifting up. The love of God constrains him. So he starts behaving like him. But it's not him now. It's because Christ is what? Is him. So Paul said, it's no longer I, but Christ. So the life I live by faith in him. So that when I wake up, I don't think of my struggles and failure. I think of the fact that I'm made like him. He will never leave me, forsake me. He's living in me. He knows I have no strength, but he chose to come and live. And he lives in me because he wants to lift me from where I am to where I should be. And with that faith continuously and studying, he grows in knowledge of him. Understand, when he begins to understand how powerful he is, and the devil shows up and begins, he says, no, you're under my feet. Get out of here. Because he knows in whom he has what? Believed. You can't stagger him anymore. But all of that comes, the more he knows him, the more he knows how powerful, the more he understands even the arrangement God made. Then he begins to see, wait a minute. So you not only did you join to me, you even gave me blessings. I'm no more under the curse. I became a curse for you. Because then he begins to talk to him. He said, you know I became a curse for you. Now you are a blessed one. He said, but I don't have anything. He said, yeah, because you never believed it before. The same way you were struggling to be like me, you were struggling to do things. He never trusted me. Okay, now, when you go tomorrow, go to so-so-so place and apply for job. He said, really? Yeah. Good. I have made a way where, yeah, because the Spirit of God comes to show him things to come. So he's not living an ordinary life now. He doesn't do things from here. He does things because he tells him. He guides him. Shows him. If sickness hits him, we tell him, remember, I healed you. I healed you. Because he will always talk to you. I healed you. I healed you. Believe my word. Don't listen to that. Say, yeah, Lord. I'm not listening to it. Say, yeah. I agree with you. Can work together as long as we want. Okay. I mean, we're trying to, by God's grace, to make this as simple as it can be, so that you don't walk in struggles and walk in stress, just trying to do what God said you can't. I've done all of these things. Enter into my rest and enjoy these blessings. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So that's all that Paul was writing in Romans chapter. Let's go read it now. After God has heard me now. I think when we read it now, you will understand it. Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer what? In it. Put it up. Romans 6, 2. I don't even know how much time I have. Of course not. Since we have died to sin. Huh? Remember, the old nature has what? That. How can we continue to live in it? Continue. We're going all the way to verse 14. Verse 3, please. Or have you forgotten? Did you forget that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, that's when we came into him? To be baptized into Christ is to, if any man is in Christ, immersed in Christ. Baptized, when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his what? He said, that's when our old nature was taken away. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. That coming into Christ is what brought us that privilege of death. You see? And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may now live a new life. Continue. Just be going. Continue. Since we have been united with him in his death, we also be raised to life as he was. Keep going. We know. What do we know? That our old what? Sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our life. Where was that sin? In that old nature. So, if that old nature is crucified, so that nature of sin has lost its control over us. We are no longer slaves. Now, remember what we said? If you are left-handed, you are kind of slave to it because you can't help it. So if by nature you are sinful, you are a slave to it, you can't help it. Okay? Why do you take away? Time remaining, 9 minutes? Really? Okay. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power. Now, this side, how did it happen? How did it happen? Was set free from the power of sin. How did it happen? The sin nature was what? Crucified. It's like we go to surgery and they take away the tumor. Once that tumor is what? Taken away, you are no more a slave to it. So we are no more slaves. Since we died with Christ, we know we will also what? Verse 9. Keep going. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Verse 10. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. But keep going. I've explained all. When he died once to break. Keep going, verse 11. Because Romans 6, verse 11. So you also should consider yourself. You see what I'm saying? Consider yourself to be what? Dead to the power of sin and now alive to God through Christ, because you have received a new life. If any man is in Christ, is what? A new creature. And that new creature was created to be like Christ in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? Verse 13. Verse 12. Do not now let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful what? Don't think you are like what you used to be. Because if you keep thinking like that, you are going to be succumbing. Thinking, well, I can't have it. Okay? So verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to sin, to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead now. But now you have what? A new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. It's like I was left-handed and now I'm no more left-handed and now what? And then somebody is telling me, you can now use your right hand. Stop using this one. It's gone. And because these things were spiritual realities, it's not something you see physically, but they are spiritual realities. Verse 14. For sin shall not have what? Dominion over you, for you are not under what? That the law. Because under the law, these things were not taken away. It was under grace that it was taken away. Under the law of Moses, nobody took away the sinful nature. But when grace came, Christ took it away. Can I hear amen? So now you are no more under the law. Well then, since God's grace has set you free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. So he repeated that question. Did we read 14? For sin shall not have what? Over you, for you are not under the law, but now under grace. Why is it that sin shall not have dominion over you? Because the tumor of sin has been what? Taken away. Now verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law? So he begins to say, when you tell people this, they say, okay, if you take away the law, then what you're telling me is do what you like. That's what he's saying. He said, no, it's not like that. He said, shall we sin then because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's what? Slave from whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What is that form of doctrine? The gospel of grace. He said you obeyed that form of doctrine, the gospel of grace, to which you were delivered now, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of what? Righteousness. Ephesians 4:24. See what God did when we came to Christ, when we received the gospel. But put on your new nature. Can you tell somebody that? created to be what? You see what God already did? Truly, come on, church. Truly, and what again? Say, this God accomplished this. So put it on. Now, how do you put it on? You put it on your mind by thinking, by what you believe. Because it shall be to you. According to what you, if you believe that you've been created this way, you start walking your life. But if you think, well, let me work harder, you can't go far. You can only pretend before people. But the reality is that if Christ doesn't intervene in a man's life, the man is hopeless. Because the only hope of glory is who? Christ Jesus. Amen? Verse 19. I speak in human tongues because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, look at that verse 20, very interesting. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to what? He said, when you were slaves of sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Why? There's this tumor of sin controlling your life. Now, when you deal with people who are not saved, if you really understand this thing, you can't be just be compassionate and patient. Because all of us were like that. The Bible says we were all like that before. So if they do some things, why are you angry and complaining and fighting all over the place? Look at what the Holy Spirit wrote. Verse 2, when you were slaves to sin, you were free. From the obligation, what? Why? Because the nature that was controlling you was sinful. Now you go to your job and they're acting like their nature. And then your mouth is shut. You ought to act like them. The only difference is on Sunday you go and sing Pentecostal song. But when you go home, you behave like them. Why? Your mind is not renewed. If you understand these things, you will understand why they're doing. You see why Jesus prayed that prayer. Father, for what? Forgive them for, they don't know what I do. Their nature is wrong. That nature is totally wrong. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Their nature is totally wrong. They don't know what I do. Verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is dead. 22. But now, everybody say, but now. But now, having been set free from sin, do you know how many times Paul kept saying you have been set free from sin? Having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruits to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Look at Galatians 2:20 and see if Paul believed this thing for himself or not. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been what? Is it not what he's been telling us? That we've died. This thing is dead. As Christ died, we've been died. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. But Christ, listen, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. The cross meant everything for this man. And then he put in verse 21, I do not set aside what? Because for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ what? Died of it. I can't set aside what grace gave me. He said, I'm crucified. My old nature is dead. And when you begin to believe, like I said, and say so, and what? You know, my mentor told a story, and that story blessed me. He said when he was growing up, he didn't have problem like these young people had in America. He said he didn't even have the temptation there. He said nothing was temptation to him. He said he lived a real clean life all his life. He said, I never really had any temptation. These young boys following women around and you know drinking. He said, it never even was an attraction to him. He said, but one thing was what I was doing. He said, every opportunity I have, I will introduce myself and say, I'm a new creature. He said, hey, he said, I don't care. He said, in school, I'll tell my teacher, teacher, do you know I'm a new Christian? He said, I'll tell the school, these people in charge of administrator. He said, when he's talking to me, the first thing I tell him, administrator, I'm a new creature. He said, Christ has made me a new man. He said, they may say, new what? So I'm a new creature. He said, I never failed to tell people. He said, as I was saying it, it was becoming real. As I was saying it, it was becoming, because I'm not ashamed of the testimony of Christ. I was saying it in public. He said, so my life was really exactly that. He said, that new nature took over my life. He said, I was all these things young people were. He said, was never an interest. I never even had one moment temptation with him. And he grew to a point where he would come to school and sit down. Let me tell you, people, the spirit life is something else. Come to school and sit down, and the teachers will teach. And then he will tell the teachers, you read it from him. He will tell the teachers, let me read your book for you. He will read the book and say, that's the end of the first chapter, turn over. And they ask him, did you cram it? He said, no, sir, I live by my spirit. My spirit knows all this. I'm telling you. He said, I will read. And the Bible, he will read the Bible. Of, that is chapter after chapter, chapter after chapter. He said, I never cram anything. He said, my spirit is alive. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. I said, praise the Lord. He said, when I wanted to marry, I knew my wife. I knew how many children I would have. So I didn't even have to pray about it. Because my spirit was well developed. All the same people pray and struggle about it. It was growing in this thing that came to a point that before he would go to preach, he would see the service from beginning to end. Everything that happened. Because his spirit was growing. So he was going from glory to glory to glory to glory. To the point where anybody would die in his family, he would know. Because his spirit, because it's by your spirit that you live. What you are saying is not religion. It's not religion. Forget about all this religious stuff that really doesn't bring you to glory at all. And the Christians don't even know much. And that's why they are following prophets. Prophets will follow you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Prophets will follow you. They come and ask you, what did God say? Then you tell them to give your life to Christ. Did you get what I'm teaching? Did it sink? Did you get it? Is anybody a new creature? Huh? Will you ever tell anybody so? Because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of my word, he said, you won't experience it. Will you ever tell somebody? Will you ever tell somebody? I say, do you know I'm a new creature? Then let them laugh at you for the first time. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I am born again. More than a car. Oh Lord, I'm a new creation.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.